Hey guys, this is Kelvin Gastelum. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
How's that for timing with Kelvin fighting on Saturday here in Madison Square Garden?
Is that my lighter? That's my lighter.
You actually got something for this program?
I got that lighter at the 25th anniversary event in Denver. That was at the hotel in Golden.
Was that before or after you almost got kicked out?
It was after. Definitely after.
The liner was after?
Yeah, the liner was after I got kicked out.
Oh. So that almost you get bonus points then.
I know. I still have balls of steel.
Because you got booted out, but somehow you slithered back in.
I'm sneaky like that. And over the break, I was thinking about the craziest thing that's ever happened during a pizza cooking shift, and I have an answer for you.
All right, I'm going to pretend like I care. Go ahead.
In the spirit of Halloween, about, I don't know, 8-9 years ago, probably back when, remember that infomercial guy, that Billy Mays guy?
Yeah.
He wore like the corduroy or the chambray shirt with the jeans, and he'd sell like all the infomercial crap. He just passed away. And so some guy came in dressed as Billy Mays. But I thought his outfit was missing something. So I balled up some pizza flour in like a saran wrap and I made a little baggie, like a dime bag. And so I gave it to him and put it in his, like in his front pocket of his shirt. And then, you know, everybody treated me like I was the bad guy. Like, oh, like I was the one who did it. So
Comedian, you're supposed to say, oh, that's too much.
What's that?
That's what you're supposed to say as the comedian. Oh, that's too much.
Yeah, that's the one that broke the camel's back. Like, really? Like, I'm not the one who allegedly had cocaine in my system, you know? So, you know, anyway, where's USADA when you need them to test the infomercial guys, right? They almost derailed this whole fight on Saturday night. They almost derailed it because of drug testing that Nate Diaz pop positive for, which they had to go back and retract and say that he didn't. So what's going on with that, Randy?
Well, what Nate Diaz said on Monday in his phone press conference was not only did he not stop taking what they alleged, he doubled down like only Nate Diaz could do. You know, the presser was unbelievable. We'll get back to that. We have a lot of stuff still to get to. Coming to you live from NYC, sitting directly across the street from Madison Square Garden. Let's welcome our next guest. He's been on the program before, Brad Tavares. Brad, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Not too bad. We appreciate your time. Before we talk about you and we talk about your fight, do you know anybody else other than Randy Couture that would walk himself to a hospital while having a heart attack?
Hey, that's one tough son of a gun right there. You know, that guy is crazy. You know, like gladly everything worked out so, you know, we can laugh about it now, but it could have been really scary. You know, heart attacks, it's no joke. So for that guy to not only finish his workout but then go walk himself to the hospital, you know, it just shows you what type of grit he really has. You know, that guy is a trooper.
Well, and what he said, and I'm sure you saw it, and I don't know if you saw the video that a lot of us made and sent to Mindy, and then Mindy sent it to Randy, but what Randy said was that he was 3 blocks away, and it would have taken longer for an ambulance to come get him and take him than for him to walk, so he walked.
So you see, so not only is he just tough, he's very smart, you know, under pressure.
Exactly, very smart. So tell us, it's fight week, 3 days, 3.5 days before the fight. What do you do fight week? How are you trying to get through the week?
You know, right now I'm actually at a toy store with my daughter, letting her see, you know, I don't want her to be trapped in a hotel room all day, so just kind of out and about. I kind of treat it business as usual, you know. I don't know. I don't do anything, like, really different. Obviously I eat a little bit differently because I have to watch my weight, but I've always had pretty good weight cuts, so I mean, right now everything is going good. So far so good.
Is it a fine line? And I always ask all of you fighters this, you know, it's a work trip. You know, you live in Las Vegas, so, you know, you're in one of the two or three best cities in the country, this being one of them as well. So it's not like a vacation, but you don't want to sit in the hotel room either. So is it a fine line that you have to balance?
You know what? Honestly, I'm the type of guy that I wouldn't, like, that doesn't bother me. Like, I'm a real chilled person, so sometimes I would just be in my hotel room and just chilling. I'll watch Netflix or whatever TV, just hang out. This is actually the first trip that my daughter, first flight trip that my daughter's made with me. I fought in Vegas before and she's been there. So like I said, that's business as usual. But so this time around, I don't know. I'm not like one of those guys that I've seen guys that they look like they're suffering during fight week and they look miserable and they don't have energy to do anything. Like I said, I treat this as a normal day for me. I just, my diet is a little different. So either way, there's times where I just chill in the room. I don't mind that. But this is more for my daughter's sake. You know, I don't want her just trapped in a room all day.
Before I ask you about Edmund, what is the craziest, strangest, funniest thing that's ever happened to you in the middle of a fight?
In the middle of a fight? Like actually in the fight?
Yeah, and the reason I always ask it and I always explain it is I interviewed a fighter, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and he said that he fought Dennis Siever. And Dennis is from Germany, and they were talking German.
Yeah.
And he said, like, 8 seconds in the middle of the fight, he's watching Inglourious Bastards in his brain in the middle of a fight while he's throwing punches.
I don't think I've had any experience like that. I'm trying to think now. When I fought Elias Theodoro, I think his like cup broke or something and was like dangling out of his shorts at one point. That's about like the kind of the weirdest thing that I can think of. Other than that, like mentally, I'm always there in the fight, so I've never like strayed away. That's kind of funny to hear, like, you know, they hear the German and they think Inglourious Bastards. I'll tell you one of the strangest things that's happened to me right before a fight is back in 2016, and I'm sure you guys have heard this incident. A bunch of us were in the elevator. It was when Stipe fought...
Cleveland. It was in Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland. Yep. Stipe fought...
I just got Fabricio? Off the elevator.
No, over him. Brad, yeah, we were in the elevator.
Right. I just got off of that elevator. I was there when it happened.
Yeah, so that's probably the craziest thing that, if I would say, like, outside of the, like, fight or in a fight or having to do it to fight, as far as crazy goes, I think that's it.
That would definitely, you know, fall into that category for sure. All right, I don't want to take too much more of your time because you're with your daughter spending some family time. Talk to me about Edmund. You know, obviously a nice start to a career, and that's got to add a little bit to this fight, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, when I look at Edmund, I definitely respect him. He's not somebody that I overlook. I don't overlook any of my opponents. But if I'm being honest, you know, I've fought guys better than him in every aspect. And I believe myself that I'm the better fighter here in every aspect of the fight. So it's just going to be all about going out there Saturday night and showing the rest of the world what I already know.
Good stuff. Brad, as always, thank you for your time. Get back to your daughter. We're going to put you on hold real quick so we can get your address. So we can send you a care package from 8 Man Strong. Thanks, Brad.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. I'll go grab some more stuff with him, Matt, on Thursday, out at MSG. So there is your first three fighters come Saturday night. And I cannot be any more hyped. I cannot be any more excited for this card start to finish. And I hope people are there early. I bitch about it all the time. Get there, watch the first fight, watch the middle fight, watch the last fight.
The whole card stacked. I mean, this is a deep card, and it's going to be, I mean, yeah, if you're paying the same ticket price for the first one through the last, you might as well get your money's worth.
You are correct, sir. So we're going to just move right along as soon as we take care of Brad's address. Tony Beltran just texted me. He wants to get into some training, so we're going to try to get him on real quick. Then we're going to try to attempt shortly to get Elisa Schmidt back on. We also have Johnny Bedford coming up. Two great fights. Johnny Bedford taking on your boy.
Who's my boy?
Your boy. And I'm
Abby?
Not talking about Eric Anders, because you know, that's his nickname, your boy.
Oh. Oh, yeah, Felony. Yeah, he had to change his nickname.
I know. I would try to get Charles Bennett on to explain that, but FCC will not allow it.
Yeah, that would be a little bit risky.
You know, I want to get Phil Baroni on. FCC will not allow it.
Yeah. Well, they know there's a history there, so got to go with the patterns. But this, I mean, this whole fight card, man. I mean, how can you not get excited about this, Randy? I mean, I have to come. I got to find a way up there. Even if I have to ride my bicycle again. I wonder if I could be there in 3 days.
The only way you would make it up here riding your bicycle, if you threw a rope, you know, around a train and let the train pull you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not a bad idea, but I have to come up to this. This is going to be one of those legendary fight cards and events and locations. I mean, it's, why am I in Florida? What am I doing down here?
As true as that is, maybe consider riding your bike, leaving tomorrow, and meet me in Biloxi in 3 weeks.
Well, I mean, no, but I have to come to this. I mean, Derek Lewis is on this card. Kevin Lee is on this card. I mean, you've got some heavy hitters. Gaslam, Till, Thompson. This is all the main event. Like, this
it's a fantastic card, but crazy. There's no way that you can ride your bike there. And there's no way that you can ride the bike from Tampa to New York and be here by this weekend. But if you jump on your bike now, you can meet me in Biloxi 3 weeks from now. But this is just as action-packed as well. And let's welcome back to the program. He's been on the program a few times. Back in the squared circle in Biloxi, Joey Beltran. Joey, how are you?
I'm doing well, fellas. How are you guys?
I appreciate your time. I know you got some training to do, so we wanted to get you on and just talk to you real quick. 3 weeks away from another big fight. Everybody already knows what to expect. You back in the squared circle.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm just excited to go out there, fight for the title, seize the opportunity. This is definitely where I planned on being the whole time when I first signed on with BKFC. It took a little bit of a different route. You know, I had that one setback versus Arnold Adams in the tournament, lost by cut. But it really forced me to go back to the drawing board and really, really take a look at this game. It's not normal boxing, obviously. It's not fucking MMA. It's a complete different, separate game. If you don't approach that way, then, you're not in it for the long haul. And I am, so, took a little detour, but I'm back to where I thought I would be originally, and that's fight for the title.
Do you think that's one of the stumbling blocks that we have trying to promote this sport of bare knuckle? It's kind of like MMA early stage, where a lot of fans think that it's rock'em sock'em robots, and in fact, that's not what it is, and that's not what anybody wants it to be.
With this day and age of the internet and everything, and you need clickbait, you need those bloody images, you need the images of like me and Tony Lopez and Artem Lobov and Jason Knight and all the other countless other bloody wars. But I mean, the people that are in there and that are actually doing it, we know how technical this game really is. And when shit hits the fan, shit hits the fan. We're fighters. We're gonna fight. We're gonna let them fly. But it's there's definitely a lot of strategy and a lot more technical a lot more of a technical aspect to the sport than people are right now giving it credit, but in due time people will see, so it's all good.
Well, and that's some of the things that I keep pushing. I'm not the one thing I don't like about this sport is the blood. I don't think that's something that we need to push. And I saw something a couple Saturdays ago when I was walking out of the back when Bare Knuckle was in Tampa. And I've tried to explain to the fans, when I walked by Bigfoot Silva and I saw his face and how dejected and how upset, and he just lost a fight. Fans are screaming and hollering, not understanding what you athletes go through, to go out there in a fist fight. There's a lot more to it than just quote-unquote entertainment. This is lives. This is how you guys make your money. And it really bothered me seeing his face. And that's why I'm trying to push the sport for what it is and not what people think it is.
But that's with anything. And us as athletes, us as professional athletes, but more so as professional fighters, we know that's part of it. Unfortunately, that's part of it. People don't know our struggle. People don't know the countless hours that go into the actual fight. they just see the you know, the 10-minute fight, you know, the 5 2-minute rounds that are out there under the lights. And unfortunately, like, if you go out there and lose or you get knocked out quick, then people are just going to be like, oh, well, this guy fucking sucks. You know, they don't see the amount of hours and the fucking sacrifice you put, you go through, your family goes through, and the emotion that goes into it. You know, but like I said, that's how it's always been. That's how it's always going to be. So there's nothing really we can do about that. But we know what we sign up for when we get into this.
Sure. But before I ask you the next question, please be careful. This is FCC radio, so we have to kind of watch, you know, words that
they
say.
Oh, my bad.
Saying.
I did not know that. Yeah, oh, I can totally.
They were supposed to remind you, so that's our fault. What are your thoughts? David Feldman has said that, you know, they're looking into making some changes with no more draws and making them 7 rounds instead of 5 for title fights. What are your thoughts on that?
You know, I can just speak for myself personally. I was a little disappointed. I thought that my title fight was going to be 7 rounds, but it's for 5. I like that. I like that. I definitely think it right now, the fight is a sprint, I think. In my mindset, it's a sprint. And, you know, when you extend the rounds and extend the length of the fight, then it becomes far more of a chess match. And, you know, then it becomes a question of skill, a lot more question of skill. I like that. I am a huge fan of the sudden death round.
Right.
You know, myself, having gone out there and fought to a split draw before, that definitely is one I would like to get. I would have liked to have extend out for a round.
Sure.
You know, so all in all, these are great things. These are great things for the company, I think.
Are you surprised at how far BKFC has gone in just over a year and, what, about 2 months?
You know what? Yes and no. I mean, yeah, I am, because, yeah, man, it was such an unpredictable situation to walk into. I remember flying out to the first show in Wyoming, not really knowing, and nobody really knew what was going to happen until that first fight between DJ Linderman and Arnold Adams. Then we're like, okay, we're here to fight, let's do it.
Right.
But, you know what I mean? So it's like, it was stepping into the unknown, but I mean the team behind David Feldman, and you know, I can't say enough good things about David Feldman. And I'm not just kissing his butt because he's my boss, you know, but I mean, he literally has come through big time for me personally on a couple occasions, and I'm sure that's I just speak a lot of the same stuff that other people have to say about him. He's a good dude. He's an ex-fighter himself, so he knows what we're going through. And, you know, whoever he has working for him, they're obviously, they're making big moves. They're going out and getting a big name. And yeah, man, I'm excited to be along, be on the ride.
Yeah, I am as well. I'm very excited to continue. I was out at the first one. I've been to 6 of the 8. I expect to be at many more. I know of big things that are coming next year. Before we let you go, did you watch a video of Chase's last fight or his last couple fights, and are you able to use any of that to get ready for your title fight?
I mean, I will say this. I watched it maybe like once, just that, and that's really all I need. I really try to practice, you know, making a monster out of myself. I don't sit there and dwell on what my opponent does or what he does well and sit up all night thinking about him. Like, no, man, I'm in the gym. I'm making a monster out of myself. I'm a problem for anybody who stands on the other side of the ring for me.
I cannot wait. We're about 3 weeks away. I'm looking forward to seeing you. I will be there. As always, thank you for your time. We're going to put you on hold to get your address again so we can send you some more 8-man strong gear.
Beautiful.
Thanks, Joey. We appreciate it. That is Bowie.
Yeah.
Joey Belton gets back in the squared circle, Matt. That's where you need to meet me. You'll never get here in time for Saturday, but you can meet me in Biloxi for Joey's fight.
I thought you wanted me to be in the squared circle, like you versus me.
You versus Joey?
No.
All right, here's what I'll do. Since you've already called out Anthony Rumble Johnson and he's already accepted your fight.
He did.
If you get through not only Rumble, but that. But cat got your tongue now? You're running away?
Yeah, I'm a little scared of that.
Which one?
Both.
You know, it's like, you know, do you want to get stabbed or shot? You know, if I said, okay, you have to pick one of those two, Rumble or Joey, do you want to get stabbed or do you want to get shot?
Yeah, neither one of those is really a good outcome for me.
It's not a good outcome.
I'll just stay on media row.
I just want to reiterate, when you fly to New York City,
yes,
when you come here for a UFC,
yes,
for a bare knuckle, when and if, and eventually it'll get here, a baseball game, a basketball, hockey, football, whatever. A friend of mine called me 3 hours ago from LaGuardia.
Okay.
He's still not here.
Really?
Yeah, I told you how quick it is to take that train.
Well, Newark is the key to New York City.
Newark is the real deal. All right, let's go ahead and another break. Coming to you live from New York City. Right across the street, I'm looking out the window. I can see MSG. I will be there in about an hour and a half as open workouts for your main and co-main. And then all the fighters will be at their scrums tomorrow. We'll have video and audio and all of that, but we'll talk more about that when we return. Coming to you live from NYC, this is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Zone.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
What's up, guys? You're listening to Knockout Radio. This is the Russian Hammer. Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry, where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink, where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team, where do you do it?
That's right, Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Shake, rattle, and roll at the Ryan Neese Foundation's 11th annual Power of Giving holiday party on Thursday, December 5th at the Pepin Hospitality Center. Enjoy delicious food, open bar, casino games, celebrity guests, a live band, silent auction, and most of all, fun. Tickets are on sale now at www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the DiBartolo Family Foundation. We'll see you on December 5th at the Power of Giving holiday party. Visit ryanneesefoundation.com to buy tickets now.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12 draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split and Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yo, this is Platinum Mike Perry. You're listening to Knockout Radio.
Just take those old records off the shelf. I sit and listen to them by myself. Today's music ain't got
Hi, we are back coming to you live from New York City. I need to ask.
Yes?
Whatever's at the radio station right now, and you can just text it to me. Do you know what's going on at Madison Square Garden tonight? So I see that they're already typing to me. Before I say anything, I just need to know if they know what's going on at MSG tonight. He just came back with no. You know how good the people back at the radio station are?
I don't know. How good are they?
They are so good that they don't know how good they are.
Okay.
Bob Seger was what was just played on our comeback, correct?
Oh, yeah.
Right? That was right. Bob Seger. Bob Seger is tonight at Madison Square Garden.
What?
And I've been contemplating doing one of two things.
Okay.
Buying a ticket or just walking out the back door of the Hula Theater and try to get into MSG for Bob Seger tonight.
Yeah, just, I'm sure your boy, what's your guy's from Cheap Trick? What's the guy's name? Robert Zander, I'm sure he's got connections for you. Just call me like, hey, Bob, let him in.
I've done that before.
I expect nothing less. I mean, don't you think you're just as well known in the music scene as you are in the MMA world?
No.
Come on, Randy, you're at everything. You're always in the center of attention, a center of like the events.
All right, now, I know that I'm going to get thrown under the bus, and I will not tell you the name, okay?
Okay.
As long as you're okay with me not telling you the name.
Okay.
All right. So my whole family was in Vegas. And my brother bought tickets for a particular act. So I called a mutual friend of mine and the act.
Okay.
And they got us backstage. We went and we met the act. My entire family wanted to kill me and the act. It was not good.
Really? Why weren't they ecstatic about meeting the band and being backstage?
When I asked the main person of the act, how are you doing? And his response was, did you not just see the show?
Oh.
Because it was
a bad show.
Let's just say your worst appearance on this radio program, and there have been many, was still better than what we witnessed that day.
See? And I'm not even a professional at the radio thing.
Well, you're not a professional at... Well, all right, so you're a professional pizza guy.
I get paid to make pizzas. That is a fact.
Yep.
So...
All right, so you're going to come up? Yes, no, or are you going to meet us in Biloxi? Do Biloxi.
Oh, I'm definitely going to do Biloxi. Speaking of Bare Knuckle, Fox 13... the local news affiliate here in Tampa, they sent out Walter Allen to interview Abby Velasquez this morning. So it's nice to see that even after bare knuckle boxing has moved on, the local media is still giving him some love and attention. So that's great news for not only Dave Feldman, but for the entire organization. And I after Dave said that Tampa is a fighting city, that it's becoming known as a city that is accommodating and welcoming to fights. I can only expect to see more bare knuckle in the future here.
Oh, I definitely see that. I truly do. And, I'm curious how long until other organizations are going to try to jump on the bandwagon. Other people are going to try to start. And it's very similar to what the UFC did in the MMA world in that Dave Feldman has kind of laid the groundwork. He's done a lot of the heavy lifting. getting it sanctioned, getting it brought to Florida, getting it in a couple other states, working on other states as well. You know, we talked about other countries and some big plans. I know some things that are supposed to happen next year. And when they do, not that Bare Knuckle FC hasn't already blown, you know, the doors off, but where do you see what's about to happen and what's about to happen next year?
Well, I mean, so along those that train of thought, Randy, I mean, UFC obviously laid the groundwork for, like, you know, companies like Bellator. And this past weekend, you just saw Douglas Lima beat Rory McDonald for the $1 million purse plus the double belts. You know, and I've seen some memes going around the internet talking about 50 Cent, you know, showering him with champagne inside the octagon. You know, he's got double belts. He's got a $1 million purse on top of his prize money for his appearance. And it's like, why would I fight for the UFC? You know, so is that the key to success? I mean, is that how these other organizations are going to get quality fighters and to gain market share is by offering more prize money and more money like that?
Well, first go back to the statement that you said he made. Why would he fight in the UFC? What are you implying? Because of what he won?
Yeah, because the money that they're given in these other, like, you know, professional fight league has tournaments for $1 million prizes, and now Bellator has $1 million prizes. So, you know, will the UFC have to keep follow suit and give higher purses and higher prizes to keep fighters, or you know, or are they just too big? They're the standard, and everybody else has to follow them.
Like I said, when Ryan Bader went to Bellator from the UFC, there's a lot more than just winning a belt. It is about making more money. It is about providing for your family. It is about making a better life, not only for yourself, but your family and your family's family and so forth and so on. So, but with that said, don't kid yourself. The chance of the UFC, I don't know every single division, but most divisions are already making that kind of money, whether it's through their sponsorship, through their money. I've seen things that have happened back in the day, you know, about extra bonuses and whatever. But that's what it's about. At least that's what it's about to me. Some athletes, all they care about, yes, they care about money, but they want to be known as a UFC world champion. So,
and in New York City this weekend, you've got two guys that only care about a certain BMF belt at the MSG.
But, you know, you asked about that in the first hour. You know, take that belt away. Do you think that either one would care any less about this fight? It's not about the belt.
No, I think the belt makes it cool. The belt makes
it does make it cool. You know, it also makes it a little WWE-ish as well. You know, what's the extreme one? The 24/7/11. I don't know if you watch wrestling at all, but
no.
You know, I can't even think of the guy's name, but you know, he calls it the 24/7/7/11/12/13 belt defended 72 hours a day, 467 days a week. But the, you know, when it rambles off of his tongue, it is pretty funny. But you know, I think that everybody would be just excited for this fight if Nate Diaz didn't come off about the belt. Everybody would still be in love with him. Everybody would still be as excited. I don't think it needed to be there. It's cool that it is, but I don't think it needs to be there for it to be a big deal.
All right. I mean, these guys are modern day gladiators. We've talked about the combat sport world and in reference to history and how gladiators. But I mean, how would the modern day fighters like the Nate Diaz's match up against the world's history of like Spartacus and like Leonidas and some of these like legendary warriors? Like Spaniard. Who would win?
And who'd Spaniard?
Like Spaniard? Alex the Great or whatever, like, you know, like who would win in those fights?
And again, I keep saying Russell Crowe from Spaniard, you know, the movie The Spaniard. You know, there's a handful of these guys that you could picture in there. You know, take Russell Crowe out and put either Diaz brother. Take Russell Crowe out and put Masvidal in there. Let's be honest. Put the One-Eyed Wonder in there. Best thing. You know, so there's a handful of these guys that you can pick picture back in the day. Now, there's others I don't know if I could. You know, could you picture Pat Barry? You know, Pat's the one who came on the program and said, don't kid yourself. I would never fight for free. I don't fight because I enjoy it. It's my job. You know, and anybody who says they'd fight for free is lying, you know.
Right.
And it's true, though. I mean, it's what they do. But there are some people that I could never see fighting for free. I could see Masvidal and Bo Diaz brothers fighting for free.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I could see Andre Arlovsky back in the day. I mean, you know, some of those old barbaric, like Viking-looking, you know, warriors.
What do you mean back in the day? Andre Arlovsky looks the same today as he did 10 years ago.
And he'll be on this fight card on Saturday fighting against another Icelandic warrior. I don't know if he's from Iceland, but his name looks crazy.
I love when you just make stuff up.
I do. That's my job. I don't. Well, I mean, what do you want to do? Research? You mean like look stuff up ahead of time? But yeah, I mean, Arlovsky, like the former world champ, is fighting on this card on the, you know, on the prelims. It's just crazy. I mean, this card is so stacked, like all the way through it. I'm jealous. I'm jealous that you guys are all there. I'm jealous that the Randy regime's there.
Yeah, we're all here.
I'm stuck in my pizza prison.
There, as a matter of fact, the regime's coming for the Halloween party tomorrow. How sad is that? How ugly? How scary is that going to be? New York City, Halloween. They dress up normal, you know, on all days.
Yeah,
actors out there on Times Square walking around on a regular basis. And I hate that this hotel, you can't open a window. I guess a lot of people have tried to commit suicide.
Yeah. Makes sense. Makes sense.
All right. Let's, before our final break, talk a little NFL. More bad calls.
Okay. Yeah, the Buccaneers lost.
Brutal. Absolutely brutal. And I dislike when fans say the ref, the judge cost the fight, the game, the match, whatever. Because and players will say, you know, there's 92 plays in a game. One play is not going to sway a game. Well, guess what? That one play did. Because if the proper call is made, the Buccaneers win the game, and a lot of things are different. A lot of things are changed. The attitude of the Tampa Bay fan base, the attitude in the locker room that I had to go witness on Monday. Everything has changed if the ref and instant replay, even though instant replay didn't come into play because they blew the whistle. So
that's my question. That, like, you know, the whole point of having instant replay is to get the what actually happened to be actual and confirmed or verified or overturned, to use the instant replay to get the correct call on the field. But because of the rule of if the whistle blows, it's not reviewable, it kind of defeats the whole purpose of the instant replay. I mean, forget the whistle. Let the facts play out. The ball was loose before it hit the ground. That therefore, it makes the ball a live ball, and the Buccaneers should have won the game.
Right. The thing that bothers me the most are two things. Okay. One, the fact that week two, again, it happened in New Orleans. They blew the whistle. They said that they would not do it, yet they did. Two, I've been saying this for years and years. I believe referees in the NFL, that should be their job. It's not. It's a part-time job. These guys are doctors and lawyers and Indian chiefs and do everything else Monday through Friday. And then they fly wherever for the game on Sunday or Thursday or Monday or whatever. This should be their regular and only job. So if you do a Sunday, fly to New York and spend 3 days in New York watching film, watching stuff, being, you know, in school, being, you know, taught, you know, after mistakes. And so the people are held accountable. There are jobs on the line every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday. They don't care. Ownership, management, they don't care. You're going to get fired because you lost the game. And I think they should be held accountable. You know how they're held accountable? They may not get a playoff game.
Wow.
That's accountable? awful call after call.
So how do you apply for that kind of job? Because, you know, I'm not doing nothing on Monday nights and Thursday nights.
You already have a job that you're not.
Oh, yeah.
It's called this radio show.
Oh, yeah. Co-host of Knockout Radio. I always forget about that job.
All right, let's go to our final break of the afternoon. When we come back, we'll reach out to the champ, Johnny Bedford, see what's going on as he gets ready to take on Charles Felony Bennett at Bare Knuckle FC. What are we at, 9 or 8?
Number 9.
We're at 9. I believe it's 3 weeks from now in Biloxi. We'll get to him and close out this bad boy so I can head across the street to MSG when we return. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Sergeant.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It's Chuck the Iceman Liddell, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxen millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza. That's Tour de Pizza.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Shake, rattle, and roll at the Ryan Neese Foundation's 11th annual Power of Giving holiday party on Thursday, December 5th at the Pepin Hospitality Center. Enjoy delicious food, open bar, casino games, celebrity guests, a live band, silent auction, and most of all, fun. Tickets are on sale now at www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Thank you to our presenting sponsor, the DiBartolo Family Foundation. We'll see you on December 5th at the Power of Giving holiday party. Visit ryanneesefoundation.com to buy tickets now.
The Press Box Sports Emporium is Tampa's favorite place to watch the big game. Known for their chicken wings and the best burgers in town, the Press Box also features a full menu, daily happy hours and specials, and of course, a special menu for the kids. Check out the new 12-draft system, or the boxing, or WWE pay-per-view parties. Go to PressBoxSports.com for more information and money-saving coupons. Proudly serving South Tampa for over 20 years. The Press Box Sports Emporium at 222 South Dale Mabry in Tampa.
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Gottsplit End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Gottsplit Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park, or call them at 727-290-9873.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, this is Deonta the Bronze Bummer Wilder, WBC heavyweight champion of the world, and you're listening to Knockout Radio. Bam, baby. Good night.
I got to be honest with you, Matthew.
Yep.
The producers back at the station are running much better music than this program deserves.
Oh, yeah, they're killing it today.
Good stuff. Yeah, so I was looking. The computer was still on Brad's information, okay?
Okay.
So Brad's last two losses, his last fight was a loss, and the fight before, his loss before that goes all the way back to 2015, okay? So since this fight in May of 2015, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 fights.
Okay.
He's 4-2. He lost to the middleweight, the present middleweight champion, and the former middleweight champion.
Okay.
And he's fighting Edmund, who's been on this program numerous times, Shahbazyan, undefeated. This is going to be a really interesting fight. I am really intrigued about this. You know, this is it a stepping stone fight? Is this when people will finally take Edmund, you know, for seriousness? You know, taking on Brad? I'm intrigued. This may be my fight of the night.
Oh, we're calling it right now. The middleweight bout.
You know, it's... Look at it, I've always said this. I will always take a great or good UFC fighter over a great or good fighter from another organization. This will be the biggest name that Edmund has fought. The scary thing is, of his 10 fights, and I know you're not smart enough to have already looked it up, of his 10 fights, how many fights got out of the first round?
One.
You looked it up.
I did not look it up.
How'd you look it up that quick?
I didn't look it up.
Holy cannoli. That's shocking that you...
I just know. I just know.
Oh, I threw you a softball and you... I got you.
I mean, this is a crazy card. I mean, I'm looking at it now. Do you want to run it down? Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, your main event, obviously, if the rankings don't mean anything to you, number 3, George Masvidal versus number 7, Nate Diaz.
All right. You know what? We're not going to talk about it.
All right.
We've talked enough about it.
All right.
Our schedule has been thrown all over the place. So let's go and do our final chat of the afternoon. He's been on this program numerous times. He's waiting for you to actually come to one of his fights outside of Tampa and join us in Biloxi. The champ, Johnny Bedford. Johnny, how are you? John, you there?
I'm here. Randy, good to see you. Good to hear from you. I don't really see you, but thanks for having me on again.
As always, good to talk to you as well. We're thrilled. From another fight. You're a professional. You've done this numerous times. Do you get excited about an upcoming fight, or is it just, it's what I do, it'll get here when it gets here?
Obviously, there's always excitement. You know, you prepare for a certain moment, for a certain date, and a certain, you know, I know that in 17 days that I'm going to be locked put in a ring against, you know, an opponent that's trying to beat me. And obviously I don't think it needs to be said, this sport, when you lose, it's different than losing a ball sport game or any other sport game. When you lose in this sport, it usually means you get your butt kicked. So, you know, obviously that's a big motivating factor for me, is I don't want to get my butt kicked on national TV, and I don't want to get my butt kicked in front of people who look up to me and love me. And, it's another day in the office. I'll say this to kind of completely go against what I just said. I also coach at a pretty high level. I've got a really good team. I will say this to confuse the listeners, I guess. I get a lot more nervous coaching than I do competing, because at least when I compete, you know, I have control of the outcome.
Right. Yeah, we've been told that, you know, by a lot of fighters that, you know, when you're in there, you're fighting. It's in your hands. When your Correct. Students are fighting, you know, you can only help and get, you know, talk them through it. You know, and what's really got to stink about being a fighter, you know, and I've talked to the NFL guys about it. You know, in baseball, you lose today, you play tomorrow. Houston lost last night, they're playing again tonight. You know, you don't get to dwell on it. You don't, you know, when you play football, it's 7 days. When you fight, I mean, when was your last fight? Months ago.
Yep. It was months ago. So, yeah, and, you know, bare knuckle is a little different in the sense, but I mean, combat sports and individual sports, you know, obviously all of your successes, but yet all of your failures are all based upon your shoulders. Your team doesn't win because your pitcher pitched a good game or because, you know, your team didn't lose because that guy missed that touchdown pass. But whatever, you know, all your successes and all your failures are based on you. And, you know, the really hard part is bare knuckle is different right now. It's a new sport, you know. I'm not planning on taking a loss anytime soon. If that happened, though, it's horrible. I can't explain the feeling you got to come out with. But what it does is it affects the rest of your career, you know. Like, for example, I mean, I'm going way back, but I was released from the UFC in 2014, and once I got released, I went on a 4-fight win streak, and I'm sitting here like, okay, I'm going to get my job back and go back to the UFC, time to make real money, get to where I belong, where I should have been the whole time. And I go out there and I underperform and I lose a fight. And I was 33, 34 years old at the time. And the last 4 fights no longer mattered. That one loss is what I looked at. I'm the UFC now, or these bigger promotions look at you as a 33, 34 year old man on a 1-fight losing streak. You're not 4-1 in your last 5. You're on a losing streak, you know? And so losses can they hurt personally. They hurt your emotionally, but they can hurt you financially, and they can hurt you like for everything. So much goes into that night and that performance that I don't think the average fan understands.
You know, and Johnny, it's funny that you brought that up, and I know we only have a couple minutes before the top of the hour, but I got changed emotionally after the bare knuckle in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and I've talked about it a couple times on the air. I walked out of the back. Normally, you know, we walk out of the front. I kind of walked around places I probably shouldn't, couldn't, wouldn't have been. But I walked out through the back to get to my car, and I walked by Bigfoot Silva. And when I took a look at this man sitting in a chair, you know, being talked to by doctors and coaches, and they're taking photos, and it hurt me emotionally. And I've tried to explain it to fans exactly what you just said. There's more to this whole sport. I don't like calling a combat sport a game. It's a sport. And I want fans to understand that there's a whole lot more involved to just you getting in a squared circle or a cage or whatever and fighting for the so-called enjoyment of fans.
Yeah, absolutely. People don't, I think people understand that fighters train hard. I don't think the average fan understand what really goes into that night. What is all the pressures that these people deal with? You know, I think I'm thankful I've went through some of the things that I've went through, and being, you know, I say I'm thankful for being released from the UFC, but it made me, you know, pull back. And why did I get released from the UFC, and why was I not performing? Well, it's all these external factors that an average fan has no idea about. When when you're having a messy personal life, and you're focusing energy on that or whatever else, and you're not focusing on what's most important, and that's that one moment in time that you have the ability to either catapult yourself forward or significantly backwards with a win or a loss. You've got to try to put any of the external stuff that you can't control out of it, and that's a lot easier said than done.
Right. No, for sure. Talk to us about your opponent. A lot of people know the name Charles Bennett, but is it more to it than just a name that people recognize?
Charles Bennett's been around for a long time. He's a, you know, pioneer, a big name in the MMA scene. He's fought all over the world. He's obviously a big name because he's a big personality. Went by Crazy Horse for a long time. I guess he doesn't like that name anymore, but he's going to keep being called Crazy Horse by me. That's what I've known him as his whole life.
I don't think, Johnny, that wasn't his choice. From what I was told, he got sued, and he's not allowed to use the name.
Huh. That way, he's now changed his name to Felony. I've heard it was, and I don't even know if there's any truth to this, but I heard that he chose not to use Crazy Horse because the manager made a bunch of money off the name Crazy Horse that he didn't see a dollar off of, so he's bitter and says he's never using that name again. Now, who knows? The truth's probably somewhere in the middle. It's a big name. He's dangerous. You know, I knew this move up in weight class was going to happen even before my last fight, as new as bare knuckle fighting championships is. And
truth be told, as when you go through a bracket, I'm a smart guy. I knew it was going to happen. You know, I went through a bracket and I won a bracket. Well, that leaves you in a position of like, okay, well, now who's next? You know, when there's not brackets and you fight in the UFC and, you know, Khabib Nurmagomedov beats the number one contender. Well, guess what? There's a number one contender in line after that. He can fight again in 2 months, 5 months. I mean, they got to work out the logistics, right? But there's someone next in line. When you go to a tournament, you don't necessarily have that. There's not someone coming up on a win streak that they can warrant just giving a title fight to. So I knew before even my title fight that I was going to stay active and to stay busy, that I was going to go up a weight class. And so here I am. I went up to 145. I wanted a big name guy. I didn't get the guy I wanted, and that's okay. I'm not upset with anybody. He can keep hiding in the jersey. You know, he's doing good things. He's making a lot of money. Artem Lobov is the name that I wanted. I think I'm the most deserving in the promotion for it. He's the big money fight. I'm a company man. I fought for that company 4 times. Only one person fought more than me, and that's Sam Schumacher. He's fought 5 times. But I fought 4 times, and the difference between me and Sam and me and Jim Miller, he's defeated. I'm 4-0. I fought bare knuckle 1, bare knuckle 3, 5, and 6. Here we are, bare knuckle 9. I'll be the first guy to step in that ring for the 5th time, and I'm going to be the first guy to step out of that ring that's got 5 wins with the promotion.
Good stuff. Unfortunately, we are out of time. We're at the top of the end. Let's get you back on real soon, and definitely before the fight. We also got to talk about the fishing excursion that we're going to take in Biloxi in a couple weeks.
That sounds great.
Let's put Johnny on hold, get his address so we can send him some 8-Man Strong, as always, for giving us some time. Great show, great stuff coming up this weekend. Final thing, Matt, anything?
Nope. Ashton Kutcher, brown belt, promoted.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
WZHR, Zephyr Hills.
FM 104.3.
Listen.